The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Nitzovim Vayelech. At the end of Parshas Nitzovim, Pasuk Tesvov, Lamed Tesvov. Behold, I have placed before you today life and goodness, death and evil. Which I have commanded you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to guard his mitzvahs, his statutes, his laws, v'choyiso v'roviso, and you will live and you will multiply, v'irachecho Hashem elekecho b'oretz asher tovo shom l'rishto, and you will bless the Lord your God in the land which you are coming to inherit. These parshas are speaking shortly before the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the 40 years in the desert, when they were on the boundary, ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. V'mifne levavecho v'leisishma, and if you will turn your heart and you will not listen, v'nidachto v'ishtachaviso le'elohim acherim v'avaretom, and you will go away and bow to gods of others and you will serve them, higadeti lochem hayom ki ovei teivedun, so I tell you today that I shall surely destroy you. And you will not have lengthy days on the land which you are crossing over the Jordan to enter there to inherit. The heavens and the earth, they shall testify for me today. Achayim ve'amoves nosati lefonecho, habrocha ve'haklola, that I place before you life and death, brocha and klola. Uvochato b'chayim, and you shall choose life, leman tichya atov ve'zarecho, in order that you and your children shall live. Lavos Hashem elekecha lishmaya bekol ledof kevei, to love Hashem your Lord, to listen to his voice, to cleave to him, ki hu chayecha ve'erech yomecho, he is your life and the length of days, lo sheves al ha'adoma, asher nishba Hashem laveisecho, to dwell on the land which I have sworn to your fathers, la'avrom li'itzchok li'yakov lo seis lohem, to give to you. So here the Almighty says that I place before you life and death, life and good, death and evil. Achaim v'amoves, life and death, habrocha v'aklola, brocha, blessing, and klola, and curse. Uvochato b'chaim, and you shall choose in life. Rashi brings eto libezeh. Life and goodness is dependent on each other, and evil and death is dependent on each other. Im tase tov harei lecho chaim, im tase ra harei lecho moves. If you will do what's good, you'll have life. If you'll do what's evil, you'll not have life. Uvochato b'chaim, I am giving you the choice. But I am instructing you and guiding you, advising you how to choose. That you shall choose the chaim, you shall choose the life. Rashi says it's like a father who wants to divide up his portions of his land to his sons, and he says, here, choose whatever you want. But then he takes his favorite son over and he says, here, you take this one, choose this, this is the best. So the same here is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. Is the source of the principle that we have, which is known as Bechira, free choice. This principle perhaps is the most important principle in the Torah in man's life. And we've spoken on this in the past, especially when we spoke on HaKol Bidei Shomayim Chutz Miyiri Shomayim, that everything is in the hands of heaven except the fear of heaven. Let's go into it somewhat more this evening. And we'll quote from the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Hei, the Rambam writes as follows. Reshus lechol odom nesuna, im rotze lahateis atzma lederech teva, li yetzadik ha-reshus biyode. Permission is granted to every person. If he wants to turn himself towards a way of goodness and to become righteous, then he has permission. Im rotze lahateis atzma lederech ro, li yetzrosh ha-reshus biyode. If he wants to turn himself to an evil way and be a rosho, an evil person, Harishus biyode, permission is granted. Hu shekosev b'teira heino odom hoya ka'achad mimenu, ke'achad mimenu lodas tevaro. The Rambam brings a posuk from Bereishis. In Parshas Bereishis, Gimel, Bereishis Gimel, after Adam, the first man, and Chava, the first woman, ate from the tree of knowledge. Pasachov Beis, Bayema Hashem Elokim, Heino Adam Hoya Ka'achad Mimenu. Hashem said, behold, man is not like one of us, Lodas Tevaro, where he knows good and he knows evil. Ba'atom Pen Yishlach Yodoy, V'lokach Gam Eitzach Hayim V'ochal V'chay Le'olam. And now we have to worry that if I leave them in the garden, they might take from the Eitz HaChayim. There were two trees, two special trees in the Gan Eden. The Eitz Hadas Tevara, a tree which would give a person the knowledge of good and evil, and the Eitz HaChayim, the tree of life. He was forbidden to eat from the tree of knowledge. But now that he has eaten from the tree of knowledge, and he's like one of us, so we have to worry now, lest he will eat from the tree of life and live forever. So therefore, Vayishalcheihu Hashem Elokim migan Eden la'avedes ha'adomah asher lukach mishom. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him and chased him, Vayigoresh es Odom, chased him out of the garden. Because if he'll stay there, he'll eat from the tree of life and he'll live forever. And Rashi says, what does it mean, ka'achad mimenu? Arehu yochid betachteinim, kimei shani yochid be'elyonim. He is singular in this world, like I am singular in the upper worlds. Umahi yichidosei, and what is this uniqueness? Ladas tevara, ma she'en kein bebehema v'chayo. He knows good and evil. No other creature knows good and evil. And now, if I leave him there, then Yishlach Yodai, he might come and take from the tree of life also, Umi Shirichi al Eilam, and if he lives forever, Arehu Korav Lahates Abriyas Achrav, people might follow him and say, Velei Ma'afu Aleha, that here he knows, he's the only one that knows the difference between good and evil, and he lives forever, they might think he's a god. Therefore, the Almighty chased Adam and Chava out of the garden. So the Rambam explains this. And says, Hein min ze shel odom hoyo yochid ba'olam. Ve'ein min sheni dei melei b'zeo inyan. He is singular in the world. There is no other creature which is like him in this respect. Shehu me'atzmei b'daitu b'machshavto yedeya ha'teva ara. That he, through his own accord, can distinguish between good and evil. But also called mashu chafetz, he can distinguish between good and evil, and he can do all that he desires in the area of good and evil. Ve'ein mishi yakav biyodim lasis atevara, and no one will prevent him from doing what he wants between good and evil.
Kevin Shekain, who pen Ishlach Yodai, and since this is the case, so then he's liable to eat from the tree of life also, and therefore I must chase him out. The first principle that Rambam writes here is only man, the only creature, was given the power to distinguish between good and evil through his own faculties. Animals and other creatures were given this through instinct. But man can decide for himself, and through his own mentality and his own studying can determine and find what's good and what's evil. That's A. B, and in this area he can do whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants. If he wants to do good, he can do it. If he wants to do evil, he can do it. The Amish Yaakov Miyodim Elasis, and no one will stop him. How much good he wants to do, no one will stop him. And how much evil he wants to do, no one will prevent him. The Rambam continues. Al Yavar b'machshavticho. Dover zeh she'emrim tipshei umes ha'elam v'raiv golmei b'nei Yisrael. You should not think, do not make the error which the fools of the nations of the world do, and the majority of people in Israel that do not think. Shakorish Borhu Gezer ala Odom Mitchilas Briose Lioisadi Korosho. That a person is decreed by heaven if he will be righteous or if he will be evil. Many times we say that this person was a born evil person, evil from birth, or he was righteous from birth. The Rambam says that if you say that, you're amongst the tipshei umas ha'elam, the fools of the nations of the world, or the reiv golmei Yisrael, or the majority of people of the not-thinkers of Israel. He says there's no such thing. Nobody was born to be righteous and nobody was born to be evil. Moshe Rabbeinu was not born to be righteous. And Yerovam ben Nevat or Haman or others were not born to be evil. Einad over the Cain. This is not true at all. Elakol Odom, every person roi loy liyosadi ki Moshe Rabbeinu or Rosh ki Yerovam. Every person is born with a potential where he can be as righteous as Moshe or as wicked as Yerovam ben Nevat, the most wickedest person. Or Chochamei Sochel, every person has within his power where he can make himself wise or make himself foolish. Or Achman or Achzori, or Kili Aishaya, Vechol Kainsh Kol Shad Hadeus. He can make himself compassionate, or he can make himself cruel, he can make himself generous, or he can make himself stingy, and so forth and so on. He can make himself into a person who angers all the time, or into a person that never angers. He can make himself arrogant, he can make himself humble, and so forth and so on. Now, here the Rambam tells us, firstly, people are not born to become righteous or wicked. But this is all left into their hands. Secondly, the Rambam is telling us that the dimension that's left in the person's hands is endless. Not that everyone is given a limited potential. We might think, all right, everyone is given a potential, but it's limited in accordance to circumstances. Right? Rambam doesn't say that. When it comes to righteousness and it comes to evil, not only is it decreed, it is not true that it is decreed upon him what he'll be, that's left in his hands, but secondly, not only potential is given to him, but unlimited potential in this area. If a person wants to be as righteous as Moshe Rabbeinu, he has the capability of doing so. If he wants to be as wicked as the most wickedest man, he also has the capability of doing so. This is what the Rambam writes. This is something which is not necessarily so easy to understand. But the Rambam writes this. Actually, the Rambam writes similar to this when it comes to acquiring Torah. In Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah, Rambam writes, Shrei Shiksorim Nichtor Yisrael. Yisrael were given three crowns. The crown of priesthood, Kesukuna, the crown of Malchus, Keser Malchus, of kingship, the Keser Torah, and the crown of Torah. The crown of Torah is greater than all of the other crowns. This is the greatest crown. Kohuna, priesthood, was given only to Aaron and his sons. Malchus, kingship, was given only to David and his sons. And Torah was given to everyone. So the Rambam writes, Harehu, Hare Munach ve'Eimeinu Muchen Lechol Yisrael. It is set and waiting for all of Israel. As it states, Torah Tzivalon HaMeshe Mereshe Kilesh Yaakov. Torah was commanded to Moshe. It's an inheritance for all of the congregation of Yaakov. Called Mi She Yitzi Yove V'Yital, whoever wants, let him come and take. So here again, the Rambam says that it's prepared and waiting for all of Israel. Whoever wants it can come and take. He only has to follow the instructions of the sages on how to acquire the Torah and be willing to give all of his energies for it. And this he elaborates. But we see there also, when it comes to the potential of Keser Torah, the crown of Torah, which is the greatest level in Torah, this, it seems, is given to, the potential is given to everyone. So here we see now another chidush, that not only do the potential of people lie in their own hands, but the potentials are not limited. They are totally unlimited. Then we see another chidush from the Rambam. Not only is a person given potential in areas of Torah or mitzvahs, tzaddik v'rosh or mitzvahs, but he also is given unlimited potential of self-development, of hashlama, in character. Because the Rambam here wrote, he says that every person has in his hands to be like Moshe or like Yerovam, or to be wise or foolish, compassionate or cruel, generous or stingy, v'chein shar kol adeus. Now even though, as we'll see, definitely a person is born with various natural traits, and this Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, some people are born to anger easily, and other people are born, well, they never anger. And even though also the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos that a person acquires these traits in accordance to the environment that he finds himself in, but nevertheless, when it comes to the development of these traits, this is left to the individual, and the potential is his. No matter what he's born with, now we're speaking if he's born as a normal human being, we're not speaking about Rahman al-Islam, someone who is born sick or handicapped, but if someone is born as a normal human being, no matter what traits he's born with, what qualities, what character, when it comes to self-development, this is left in the hand of the individual. Then the Rambam continues. ואין למי שיחפהו ולגזר עליו, ולמי שמשכה לאחד משני הדרוכים, אלא הוא מעצמי ודאי תנית לאיזה דרך שיצא. There is no one that's going to force him to the right or to the left in any of these areas except he himself. He is the one who will determine which way he wants to go. One of the sources of this is the Gemara in Masechet Yuma, which we've quoted in the past, where it states HaMalach HaMamun Alei Herion Laila Shmei, that there is an angel who's in charge of conception and his name is Laila, and at the time, just at the time of conception, he takes the seed before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he asks Hashem, will this person grow up to be strong or weak, healthy or ill, wealthy or poor, naturally intelligent or poor intelligence, and all of these are decreed. But when it comes to Tzadik V'Rosho, this is not decreed. This area is left entirely to man himself. Hushi Yirmiyo Omar Mipi Elyon Leseitse Haroz Vatev Kleimar Ein Abeda Geza Lodim Yestev Leilias Ra. This is what Yirmiyahu, the Novi, the prophet, said, that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, evil or good does not come out. What does this mean? When it comes to this area, this is left entirely to the hands of man. Now the Rambam continues. B'kivin shekein, nimtzu zehu acheta hu yifted as asma. If that's the case, so if we do find an individual who is a cheta, he's a person who's done a great deal of wrong in his lifetime. He's a person who has committed sins, or perhaps he's gone so far where he's even almost destroyed his life. He made a churban, he made a wreck out of his life. So he says, he did it to himself. He did it to himself. If this was left in the area, in the hands of the Almighty, it would be a different story. But since this is left in his hands, so when a person does realize that he has spent a good deal of his life doing things he shouldn't be doing, or he's ruined many areas of his life, he cannot blame it on anyone else. Who he sees as me, he cannot blame it on how he was born and what his nature was, what his environment was, but he did it to himself. Because there is nothing in the world that can force a person. There are influences, tremendous influences, which will have influence on a person, how he'll want to do, what he'll want to do. But the decision is the individual's. And there's nothing that will force him, nothing in this world that can force a person to be evil or to force a person to be good. If he's physically forced to do sin, that's not evil. Somebody comes and forces him to do sin by gunpoint. Or, for example, let's say we have many, many Jews that do things, and they do wrong things, and they don't know they're wrong. They were never taught. But then that's not sin. That's shkoges. That's not evil. If people that were brought up in rural areas, far away from any Torah, and when it comes to many of the intricate halachos of the Torah, of mitzvahs, of tzitzis, or of Shabbos, or lulav, or esrog, or whatever it might be, they know next to nothing about it. Well, then that's not evil. They're not evil people. It's shkoges. See? They're doing this through error. At the same time, though, there are many areas of Torah that people are aware of. For example, when it comes to conduct oneself between man and his fellow man, when it comes to Lashon Hara, this most people know by nature, that you're not supposed to harm other people, you're not supposed to steal from other people, you're not supposed to inflict injury on other people, you cannot slander other people, and so forth and so on. Now, even though there are tremendous influences, and from both from within and without, but the Rambam is telling us that there is no force in the world that can cause a person to decide for himself that he wants to do evil, or decide for himself that he wants to do good. This is going to be his decision, and his decision alone. And that's what it states, me people. Elyon leitetze hatev haro, leitetze haroz vatov, that this does not come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It comes from man himself. The same thing al tzar hatov, if a person comes from the best family, but there are tremendous influences of goodness. He comes from families of rabbonim. He goes to the best yeshivas. There's no one that can force him to do good. He can be influenced, he can be taught, but there's no one that can force him to do good. The decision is his. If he does it, it's his. If he doesn't do it, it's also his decision. Naturally, when it comes to judging the person, you cannot judge them equally. If a person comes from Yerushalayim and he grew up in Torah surroundings all of his life, and another one is coming from the middle of the Congo or the middle of Texas, say, you cannot judge them equally. You have to judge them in accordance to the circumstances that they were given. Now, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's job, how to judge the person. But when it comes to determine for himself, to determine what type of life he wants to lead, does he want to do good, does he want to do evil, this nobody can force him. This is left to the person himself. Therefore, he says, if a person finds that he has done wrong things in his life, he has ruined certain parts of his life, so he says then, who eats it satisfied? He's the one who caused it. No one else. Cannot blame it on other people. He cannot blame it because circumstances were like this. Had circumstances been otherwise, or if I had other teachers, or so forth and so on. Because the decision was his. And therefore, it's befitting that a person, when he takes calculation of his chatoim, of his sins, that he should weep on this. And he should have great remorse for his shortcomings, because he has done it himself. And thirdly, see, firstly is he must realize that he wasn't a victim of circumstances. It was his decision. Secondly, therefore, he should have great remorse over it. And thirdly, therefore, he should do tshuva. He should repent. Therefore, it's befitting that we should do tshuva. Because if these were not our acts, then what do we have to do tshuva for them? If these acts were automatic, or because of circumstances, then why do we have to do tshuva? But since these are our acts, therefore they're our responsibilities. And therefore we must do tshuva for them. Now the Rambam continues, Dover ze ikur godl hu, this principle, you should not look at it lightly. This principle is the greatest root and the greatest pillar to Torah and mitzvahs. As it states, and then he quotes our psukim in our parshas Nitzavim. Re'ei nosati lefanecha ayem es hachayim. Behold, I have placed in front of you today life. Kleimar, this means to say, Sharashus biyetchem, permission is yours. Because Shiach beisodem lasis mimaisim bnei odem, aisim bein tevim beim rom. And when it comes to any physical act, any human act, in the areas of good or evil, this is all yours. The Rambam continues and writes, "Ilu ha'kel ha'yagezel ala odem liyasadik roshu." Or ilu ha'yosham dover shemeshich es odem biike toldosa lederech min adrochim. If the truth was that the Almighty would force a person to do good or evil, or if there was some power in the world which would force a person to do good or evil, for example, an inherent power, genealogy, he was born, genetics, he was born with a certain character, and this forces him to act this way. Lederech min adrochim, olemada min amadois, oledeya min adeos, olemaisa min amasim. This forces him to think a certain way, or this forces him to develop a certain quality in himself, character trait, or this forces him to do certain actions. Kimei shebeidim bilibam atipshim hevrei shamayim. Or, for example, not only a genetic power, but let's say a power from Azolus. He says, like many of the astrologers believe, that if a person is born in a certain month, so he's going to have a certain character and he will be forced to act in certain ways. If he's born in another time of the season, it will be differently. It will be different. So he says, if this would be the truth, so then how would it be possible that the prophets would, in throughout history, were always rebuking us that this is what we should do and this is what we should not do? What are they rebuking us for? It's not in our hands. It's not in our hands to do differently than what we've been doing. Secondly, where would there be a place for the Torah? Torah is full of mitzvahs. Commands us to do this and commands us not to do that. If we're forced to do this and we're forced to do that, so then where is there room for a mitzvah, for tzivui, for commandments? Thirdly, ubeeze din veeze mishpat nifra min arosho umeshalim socher tzadik. Thirdly, where would there be room for reward and punishment? So now the Rambam is adding, he says, because of this principle, that's why there's rebuke from the Nevi'im, from the prophets, that's why there are mitzvahs in the Torah, and that's why there's reward and punishment. If not for this principle, then there would be no place for rebuke from the Nevi'im. What are they rebuking us for? We are forced to do what we do. There would be no place for mitzvahs in the Torah. Why is Hashem commanding us to do this or not to do this? It's not in our hands. And there would be no place for reward and punishment. From the fact that we have mitzvahs in the Torah, this means that everyone has a potential to fulfill the mitzvahs. And therefore, since it's all our doing, now we can claim credit for what we did, there's reward, and we must claim responsibility for what we did not do. Then Rambam asks the question, according to what we're saying, a person can do in this area what he pleases, even though it's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. How is it possible that a person should be able to do something in this world which is against the will of the Almighty? It says, "Kol asher chofetz Hashem oso b'shomayim v'v'oretz." HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what he wants. How is it possible that a person can do something in the world which is against the will of the Almighty? So Net the Rambam answers, that's the will of the Almighty. Just like it was the will of the Almighty to create a nature of which fire goes up and water falls down, and the world constantly turns around, so is it the will of the Almighty that people should have free will. This is the will of the Almighty, he writes. It was the will of the Almighty that people should have free will. And therefore, when they do exactly what they want, this is what he wanted in this world. Then, and why was this the will of the Almighty? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give man the opportunity to create greatness in himself. He placed man here with the potential to develop himself to unlimited spheres. And this development, this perfection, would be his. In order to accomplish this, he had to give him an area totally free of outside interference. So there, and he wanted man in the circumstances of the physical world to do this. Therefore, he placed man in these circumstances, created a zone where outside interference would not have any jurisdiction, only the free will of man himself. In order that any development that he achieves will be his, and he'll be able to reward him properly, or vice versa. This is the will of the Almighty. Then the Rambam writes, "Minyan zeh omar shleima, smach boche b'yaldusecho, v'daki al kol eile yivi'acho elekim b'mishpot." Shleima HaMelech wrote, "The young man, you shall rejoice in your youth, and you shall know that on everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you to judgment." Now, this that it says, on everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you to judgment, this we understand. But what does it mean, smach bachur b'yaldusecho, that young man, you shall rejoice in your youth? A person must rejoice because he was given a power in this world to move worlds, to achieve in unlimited areas, in unlimited dimensions. This is the power he was given. Like the what we quoted before, only man was given this power. In this way, the sages tell us, in this way he's similar to the Almighty. Because the Almighty, nobody can interfere with what he wants to do. Man also was given such an area where no one can interfere in what he wants to do when it comes to the area of good and evil. So therefore, smach boche b'yaldusecho, a person in his youth, well, this is referring to an old man also, but a person should rejoice because every man was given the most wealthiest possession in this world. And that's a possession where he can achieve in unlimited spheres, in unlimited dimensions. Sheyesh le keach miyot ha keach lasos. You were given the power to do, and no one can stop you. And osidato lite nasadin. Thus, and eventually, everything will be calculated by the mishpat, by the judgment. So this, in short, is the principles of bechira, what is known as bechira, free will, free choice, that man was given in this world. We mentioned in the other shurim, Akol Bidei Shemaim, Chutz Meir Shemaim, he was not given the power to achieve in every area of the world. For example, if a person wants to become the greatest singer in the world, he might not have that capability. If he wants to become the greatest artist in the world, he might not have that capability. If he wants to become the wealthiest person, he doesn't have that capability. If he wants to become the wisest, he doesn't have that capability, the most brilliant. But this is in the area, or the strongest not, but this is in the area of tzaddik v'roshu, tov v'ra, in the area of good, or in the area of evil. This, he was given unlimited powers, and no one will interfere. It's very important for a person to realize just ad hechan advorim agim, how far this goes. This refers to the individual and to the tzibur, both the person as an individual and as a community. Subconsciously, many times we feel that history has to follow a normal course of events. And nobody changes history, and nobody stops history. It just, through its own momentum, carries on. This is not true. Both individuals and communities, they are the ones who make history. History is not predestined. What happens in the world, what happens in Eretz Yisrael, what happens in South Africa, this is not predestined. This is all in our hands. We are the ones who make history. From small events to great events, people write their own historical accounts. And the greatest events of the world are made by people. For example, we lived through a Holocaust. Many people say, well, it was decreed, it had to happen and finished. It was the people that decreed it. We can't understand all of these things, but this principle we can. People decreed it. Could have been stopped numerous times through people's acts. The Gemara tells us that. The Gemara says the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, al ma'chor v'yushalayim. There's literally dozens and dozens of Gemaras. What caused the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash? Why was Eretz Yisrael lost? Why was Yerushalayim lost? Literally hundreds of Gemaras. Because people did this, or people did that. People did this, people did that. Mavazes Talmidei Chachomim, they disgraced the Talmidei Chachomim, or there was Loshon Hara, there was Sinas Chinam, whatever the cause is. That's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing is, though, it was the causes created by people which caused the consequences. History is a consequence of people's acts. Not that history must happen, and rather people's acts are consequences of history. Gemara tells us that there were certain times when certain individuals could have acted, could have done something, a good thing, and acted, and they didn't. And the Gemara says, even Sonusai, because of the inaction, this caused the Churban. One of the most classical examples of this, which is almost a terrifying example, is we have in the Torah by the Meraglim. In Parshas, Parsha Shlach Lecho, Parsha Shlach Lecha, Moshe told the people, send out spies and go and spy out Eretz Yisrael. So they chose a person from every shevet of every tribe, 12 people, and they went to spy out the land. From this episode came out the greatest national tragedy. Why? Because they went to Eretz Yisrael, they came back, they were made Sidibas Oretz, they slandered Eretz Yisrael. This was incidentally in the second year, after 1 year at Har Sinai. Klal Yisrael stayed at Har Sinai just short of a year. And from there they were going into Eretz Yisrael. And it was a very short journey. So they were just fresh out of Egypt, except where they had one very good year at the foot of the mountain. The spies slandered the land. They came back on Tisha B'Av. And when they told the nation the report, so the nation wept. Then the nation wanted to revolt, and they said that, what did Moshe bring us out of Egypt? To go into Eretz Yisrael. There we will be destroyed by all of the people. And our children and our wives. So they started a revolt. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that because you don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael, you will die here. So he kept them another 40 years. The entire 40 years of the desert was because of this act, where the entire generation died out and the children went in. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because you wept on this night for no reason, so kevei ani aleichem b'chi ledeiros, then I will set this night forever as a day of weeping. This was the night of Tisha B'Av. So from there, Tisha B'Av was decreed to be as a day of weeping. What happened from there? The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on that day, and the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And Beit Har was destroyed. And so forth. And why was that related to the Meraglim? So the Maral writes that had there not been for the interruption of the 40 years of the desert, and they would have gone right from Egypt into Eretz Yisrael, so they would have remained there forever. It would have been one operation, but because there was an interruption of 40 years and the generation that came out did not go in, and it was a new generation, so therefore they did not go into Eretz Yisrael with the same force that they came out of Egypt. And therefore it was Osilide Beetle, that it was a type of Aliyah into Eretz Yisrael that could be reversed. Therefore we find that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed at a later date, and the second one, and the whole Golos came from there, and all of the Torahs of Klal Yisrael comes from the Golos. So this all came from the act of the Meraglim. Now Moshe was not certain if he should send the Meraglim. When they came and they said, we want to see the land that we're going into, Moshe was not certain. He didn't know if it was good or not. He says, why do you have to see the land? HaKadosh Baruch Hu already told you that it's a good land and you'll conquer it. So why do you have to see it? They insisted. So Moshe still was not certain. So Moshe went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he asked him. He says, the people want to send. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered and said, Shlach lecho, ledaitecho. Ani eini metzave loch, im tirtze shlach, lefi shem. Hashem told Moshe, I'm not telling you to send. It's optional. It's not obligatory. You want to send? Then you send. But I'm not telling you to send. For my part, you don't have to send. There's no reason to see the land. The people want, you want to go ahead, but it's your decision. This is what Hashem told Moshe. So Moshe made a decision and he sent. Now there's a tremendous question there. It's a tremendous question. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, no? No, don't send. Because if you do, you'll be machri v'sa'olam, you'll destroy the world. But Moshe said, I'm not certain. The people are coming and they want to spy out the land. And Hashem said, it's not necessary. But Moshe said, but they want to. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say no? Like a father would. You can't go. You want to go here? You want to go? No. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have said no, there would have been no meraglim, no spies. There would have been no divas o'oret, slandering of the land. There would have been no 40 years in the desert. 3 months they would have been, in less than 3 months. And one they were holding right outside of Eretz Yisrael. It took them 40 days to travel all of Eretz Yisrael. Within a week they would have been in Eretz Yisrael. There would have been no churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, no churban of the second Beis HaMikdash, no churban of Beitar. There would have been no Tishu B'Av in the world. There would have been no Golus. There would have never been a Golus. With one word, see, with one word, we would have eliminated thousands and thousands of pages of history of blood and tears from the world. With one word, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, you're not sending. The reason why he didn't say no is what the Rambam wrote. He couldn't say no. Because this was a decision that had to do with right and wrong. It wasn't just a mechanical decision. It wasn't a military decision, a strategic decision. It was a decision that had to do with right and wrong. Was it right to send or was it wrong to send? It was wrong to send. Because it was a lack of faith, a lack of bitochen. It was a lack of trust in the Almighty. The Almighty told them, I already promised you the land. I told you I promised your fathers the land. It's a good land. Why do you have to send? They wanted to see for themselves. They lacked in faith in Emunah. So for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say one word, lay, no, he would have been deciding for them what's right and what's wrong. He would be interfering in the area of free will which he has already given to man. And therefore he couldn't say, this is your area, shlach lecho. Your area, do what you want. They did what they want, they have a churban la'ilam, and they destroyed the world. This is an example, this is a terrifying example. A terrifying example. What do we see from here? Not that the way people think. People think that we are victims of history. Not true. History is a victim of us. History does not write people's lives. It is people that write history. What happened in Eretz Yisrael, that we wrote. What happened in Europe, we wrote. What will happen in Eretz Yisrael, that we will write. What will happen in South Africa, we will write. Al yala al daitcho. Person shouldn't think, the Rambam says, kirayv umes ha'aylam, like the majority of the goyim, or reif tipshe Umesailam or Gomei Yisrael, or those who do not think in Klal Yisrael, that history is decreed. Not so. History is made by the acts of man. The acts of man are left up to his decision between good and evil. So, to realize at Heichan Hadvorim Magim, how far this goes, this is a life study. This is a life study. Abraham changed the world. Yitzchok and Yaakov, they changed the whole world. This was not history. They made history. They were not victims of history. History became a victim of them. This is something that we must always ponder to realize the great depth of this and its far-reaching ramifications. The same thing, a person must realize the great power of the individual. Communities make history, but individuals make communities. Power was granted to the individual to make decisions for himself. And those decisions will influence his life and can influence all of history also. An example, the Gemara says, we see this constantly in the Torah. In the Torah we see it constantly. The Torah writes so many times about individuals. Individual acts that change the course of history. See, many times we feel that history is the course of history was already determined and it's just following that. Not so. We feel we're in Golus because it was determined that we should be in Golus for 2,000 years. Not so. The Gemara says every generation that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt in is responsible as if they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Because had the generation reached the level of perfecting the transgressions which caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, then it would be rebuilt. There was no decree that we should be here for 2,000 years. The Gemara says, "Kol adam shiyesh ladeyo, shiyesh ladaski lenivne Beis HaMikdash biyomav." If a person perfects himself with Das HaTorah and develops himself, this can add to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So just like communities make decisions, a tzibur, a person must realize a yochid, what an individual also has, this power. When it comes to choosing between good and evil, firstly a person must realize he has to have the knowledge to choose. So this is the great pillar of Talmud Torah. Person must constantly study, because if he's studying, then he will be able to understand. If he doesn't understand, how is he going to be able to choose? This is why the Gemara says, Godla Talmud, Le'elam HaTalmud Kodim, Shemevi L'dei Maiso. Study should always receive priority to deeds, because through studying one will come to deeds. He'll become aware of the deeds. He'll become knowledgeable of the deeds. He'll be inspired to the deeds. A second principle in this area is a person should know that there are great forces. The decisions are his, but there are great forces which constantly influence him to do evil. So these he must constantly grapple with. External forces and internal forces. External forces is environment. Therefore, a person must constantly seek a good environment for himself. And Shabbos, we quoted the Mishnah. The Mishnah at the end of Ovis by Rabbi Yesib and Kisma, that they offered him 1,000,000 pieces of gold to come and live in their city. And he says, if you'll give me all of the money in the world, I won't come and live in your city because there's no Torah there. I want to live in a place of Torah. Because Torah is worth more than gold, he said. David HaMelech writes, well, Torah is worth more than thousands of pieces of gold. And secondly, what worth is wealth in this world when it's only a temporary asset. Torah is an asset forever, because when a person leaves this world, he leaves behind his gold and he leaves behind his silver and his precious stones. What does he take with him? He takes with him his Torah and his deeds. So you want me to exchange an eternal asset for a temporary asset? This has nothing doing. These are external influences. Internal influences is the Yetzer Hara. It's always the power of the Yetzer Hara that a person has to grapple with every day. The Yetzer Hara was given the task to be a force against the person, in order that when a person will do good, this will be a great achievement. We should never think that good is an easy achievement, because the Yetzer Hara was given the task to be a force against the person. We'll call a godel mechaveray yitzrei godel hemeno. As a person grows, so does the force of the Yetzer Hara grow with him. The three greatest areas of the Yetzer Hara, the Chazal tell us, is Akina v'Ataiva v'Akovid. Akina is jealousy, Taiva is desires for the physical world, and Kovid is honor. Now, a person has an intellect, and the Yetzer Hara of the intellect is where he desires great honor. See, this is not a physical. This is not a physical desire. So this constantly comes to influence man, trying to force him to do evil. The desire of the emotions of man. This is kina, jealousy. The desires of physical man, this is taiva. From here is taiva's momen, chemda's momen, he wants money. Or physical desires. This is the Yetzer Hara. These are the internal forces that constantly stand up against man. And man must grapple with this all of the time, every day, in order to obachato bachayim, to choose what's good, because the Yetzer Hara is always there pointing to the evil, to do what's not good, and tries to coat the evil with all beautiful types of beautifications to make it look very attractive and very glamorous. The Rambam brings a little further in Hilchos Tshuva. I can't find it right now where he brings it, but here in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam brings that when a person does tshuva, when a person does tshuva, he's not only obligated to do tshuva for actual acts. For example, if he did an act of an avera, but he has to also do tshuva, the Rambam says, for qualities of character that are not perfected in himself. For example, he says anger. Say. Or if a person has a great desire to eat or to drink things that he shouldn't, and so forth. And he says that these are more difficult than the actual act, because these become part of the person. And this is the Yetzer Hara, the internal force constantly is battles with the person and tries to turn him to evil. One final statement. The Mishnah Ovis in Perek Sheni, the beginning of Perek Sheni, Rebbe Eimer, Rebbe says, Eze derech yishora sheyivo le'odom. We're dealing here that a person was given the way, two ways in front of him, and he must choose between them. And this choice is given only to himself. Rebbe says in Masechta Ovis, when it comes to choosing the way, how can you tell if it's the good way or not a good way? So he gives us a sign. He says, Ezu ederech yishore sheiva le'odim. What is the proper way that a person should choose for himself? Kol shehi tiferes le'eseho v'tiferes le'mino odim. It must be something which is a good and beautiful way for you, and a good and a beautiful way to people. Rebbe is giving us a sign that when we choose, we're faced here with a choice, and the decision is ours. But it's both difficult to do right, and it's difficult to determine what's right. That's part of the choice. So he's giving us a sign. How will we know what's good? Something which is a tiferes le'eseho, which is beautiful for the one who does it, v'tiferes lei mino odom, and a beauty from him to people. What does this mean? So the Maral explains. He says, many times you'll do something which you think is the right thing to do in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in the eyes of people, it doesn't look right. Like the Gemara tells us that a person must be very careful of chashad, of suspicion. He should never bring himself lidei chashad to where people might suspect him of doing something wrong. The Gemara brings, for example, that when the Kahanim used to go into the Beis HaMikdash to count all of the shkolim, all of the silver coins that were given, they used to go in with a special garment that had no pockets, in order no one should ever suspect that maybe they're taking something out with them. A person can say, listen, if you don't trust me, don't trust me. If you do, you must trust me. Why do I have to worry about what you might suspect? I have to worry about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about Hashem. If I'm not stealing, that's all I have to worry about. No. You have to take people into consideration also. Harchek min hakiru min ademalo. That you must keep yourself away from anything that's suspicious. Other times, you do things which are very good in the eyes of people. Very good in the eyes of people. But they're not perfect in the eyes of Hashem. Not perfect in the eyes of Hashem. If we're only going to do it according to what people like, so it comes out, then everything we'll do will be Hanifa. It will be false flattery, or just to satisfy the people. So the sign that it's a good derech, Rebbe says, if it's good to, if it's good, beautiful from you, and beautiful to the people. And that's what the Bekiva says, Atei v'ayosor, Atei v'enei shomayim, v'ayosor v'enei habriyos. This is what we brought, it's brought here, like we brought, I believe it was in last week's shir, that a Talmud Chochem, when he does things, it has to be in a manner where not only it'll be right, but it'll be something which is very acceptable, okay, and very palatable to people. If a Talmud Chochem does something that's right, but it's not palatable to people, they cannot swallow it. It's not good. The Rambam brought there from the Gemara in Yuma that could be close to Achil Hashem, because from the ways of the Talmud Chochem, people have to learn to love the ways of Torah. So therefore it says, Ateva Yoshor, what's good and what's upright. What's good in your eyes, excuse me, what's Tov, what's good in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what's upright in the eyes of the Brios, of the people. Therefore, when it comes to choosing, we must Nekeit HaKlol HaBiyotcha, we must remember this principle. How do we know if it's a good way? Here we're commanded that I place before you today Hachaim, life, Hatev, and goodness, and evil, and death. Ubachat b'chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, choose the right way. So we have two problems. First of all, we have to know what the right way is. That's a whole life's work. And secondly, we have to be strong enough to choose the right way. What's a good sign? If it's the right way or not? If it's something which is good in the eyes of heaven, but it's not good in the eyes of the people, this is not the right way. If it's something which is good in the eyes of the people, but not good in the eyes of heaven, it's also not the right way. If it's a derech which is tiferes la'eseho, something which is beautiful to the one who does it, v'tiferes le'mino odom, and that beauty emanates and is palatable and acceptable by people, then you know this is the right way. This is what Rebbe tells us in the second perek of Ovas. So this is the principle of Bechira, which, as you see, has many ramifications. That firstly, only man was given this area, no other creature. Secondly, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed that he will not enter into this area. And people shouldn't think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will step in. He'll step in and intercede. He'll intercede in different areas, but not in the area of deciding what's good and wrong. Even if it means changing the course of world history, he will not intercede. Like we see by the Maraglim. That there very simply he could have changed world history, but he would not intercede. Because history was given to man. Man makes history. Thirdly, that this is a constant, this is the Amud HaTorah, the pillar to the Torah, and this is why there are mitzvahs in the Torah, this is why there's rebuke from the Nevi'im, and this is why there's Schar Ve'Onish, why there's reward and punishment. If man was not given this area to create history for himself and for the world, then there would be no place for commandments, there would be no place for reward and punishment. Everything would be preordained. And fourthly, when man, and therefore the Rambam writes, and this is a great simcha, this is a great power of man, was given, every individual was given tremendous powers, where he can write history for himself and write history for the world. And when man chooses, and this is a life's work, so Rebbe says he must make sure to choose a way which is not only beautiful to him or to heaven, but not to people, or not only beautiful to people, but not to Shemayim, but something which is both tiferes to him and tiferes lei mina odom, beautiful to people. we should be zeicher to grow in this area which was given to man in this world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.